the needle injector I use at work kind of looks like that.
You have a thing to inject needles?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
For putting needles into things. Doy.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
A bastard is me.
Hey Mickey.
Kneel before Hey Mickey.
Paladin.
In Curry.
And Fort Max.
I am Amazon!
Showtime.
Okay, it's Superhero Time. Let's start the show.
Woohoo.
I'm XV, and with me, of course, is Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hello.
And Hey Mickey.
Hey.
See, it's always a question with you what I'm going to get back every time I introduce you.
Let's figure I'd do something really gay sounding this time.
This time?
Haw.
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, that's why I'm here. Okay, so, isn't Power Morphicon the end of this week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I'm being increasingly frustrated that I'm not going to it.
Yeah, I'm kind of half and half on it. I don't have any overwhelming urge to go, but it seems like it'd be fun once.
I gotta agree. It
seems really cool that Power Morphicon gets all of these actors to show up and like interact on a close personal basis with the fans.
Well, it seems like a lot of the Power Ranger actors really actually like the fandom.
Yeah, which, I mean, you don't see that at Dragon Con or places like that. The big stars that come in, just sort of, they'll do their panel and sign some autographs and leave. But
you don't even hardly see that with Transformers conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the dedicated few who seem to enjoy the time they spend at BotCons and such, but it's a much smaller number than what turns up at Morphicon.
I mean, just look at all the promo videos on YouTube of the Ranger actor showing up, you know, doing their little skits and everything to advertise for the con. I mean, that's really cool.
They're
they didn't
into
have to
it.
Do that.
Yeah, they are into it. It's really cool.
Now, to play the negative side, I have to say it's not like these Ranger actors have a lot else going for them right now.
Yeah, but, you know...
Well, at least acting-wise.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. If they've moved on from trying to be acting and have gone on to something else in their lives, they might want to, like, leave the Power Rangers thing behind anyway, you know. Just because they're not doing anything else acting-wise doesn't necessarily mean they'd want to get this kind of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they seem to want to, and that's cool.
They all seem proud of it, and that, you know, they get, you know, why it's cool that they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the weirdest thing.
It's nice, though. I mean, it's
it
kind
is.
Of heartwarming to see that level of care coming from the people that make the show. And usually people that make shows that we love, they don't give a damn about what they're doing.
Or at least not enough to go hang out with a bunch of geeks for a whole weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and of course, another thing is with this, especially with voice actors and stuff, they have multiple stuff that they're doing stuff for, and it can easily conflict with something else. So that's part of it, too.
Yeah, but they seem to be making the time. Well, I mean,
how
many of the... previous Power Rangers actors have gone on to do, like, voice work and other things like that.
A few, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great number of them, really.
Of course, there's John Bosch.
Right.
Of course...
he's probably the most well-known from Power Rangers
Kai's
to go
on CSI,
to.
So...
Is he still?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Who is? I didn't hear.
Archie Cow, Kai from Lost Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's actually not doing too bad with at least getting small roles in
He's had
live
a recurring
action.
Role, and it's not one of the central cast, but pretty much someone who does a job that plots call for a lot of times, so...
He's like one of the immediately side cast, I guess you'd say.
Prominent recurring character, I guess is what you call it.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, I mean, it's cool when some of them do go on to do more things after Power Rangers, and you see them still a lot. Like you were saying before, though, John Bosch is the most well-known, at least for the voice acting. Because he's been in a heck of a lot of stuff since he started working with Bang Zoom.
It seems like a lot of them go on to start or work with martial arts studios as well.
And I know that was it Chad who was Lightspeed Rescue?
Yeah, who started out as being a well-known martial artist.
Yeah, and I know he's done training for though he's worked with training some of the actors in the Twilight movies, which...
Joy.
There's a resume stain for you.
Well, you know, it's not like he was going to get, like, acting work after Lightspeed Rescue.
But at least he didn't actually appear in the Twilight movies, so, you know.
Well.
Well, the one that he did, that he trained is essentially the one who's the one who was doing it because money, dear boy.
And Fort Max, how do you know so much about this Twilight business anyway?
He's on Team Jacob.
I think Fort Max was on Team Coco when the actor was a guest on Letterman or something.
Can you think of any other examples of Power Ranger actors getting like prominent work after the series?
Does Serena Vincent count?
Yes, I suppose she does.
Yeah, this might make a good topic of discussion at some point in the future. I
thought we already did just discuss it.
Well, I mean, we could go more in depth than just off the top of our head. Actually,
yeah, I guess so. Anyway, the point we're trying to make here is that, yeah, these people have lives and stuff after being Power Rangers, but they're still finding the time to come to Power Morphicon and spend a weekend with all their fans. And that's cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
And, you know, Austin St. John is a paramedic these days, which is just, it's cool in its own way, you know.
Right.
The only person I can think of that seems to really shun the whole Power Ranger thing is
David Yost.
David Yost. Yeah. speaking of which, I found out something interesting. Billy's last name, Cranston.
Yeah.
I found out that he was given that name for the actor David Cranston.
Oh.
Who's he?
He played the dad in Malcolm in the Middle, and he's in Breaking Bad now.
Well, that guy?
Yeah, apparently he did voiceover work for one of the monsters in Power Rangers.
Huh.
And they ended up naming Billy's last name after him because they liked him.
Oh. I wonder which monster he did.
It's on IMDb. I could look it up real fast.
Okay, but only if you do it real fast.
Okay, I'm hurrying!
I did your mom real fast.
Thank you.
And then she died.
Yeah, but Paladin, I already have a clip of you saying that, so you don't need to do it again.
Here we go. Snizard.
Snizzard.
That was the snake monster,
right? A bad reflection
right?
on you and... Oh no, so that was Foul Play in the Sky.
Okay, that's the snake monster.
Okay, and then
I'll have to go back and rewatch that.
Twin Man.
He did what?
Twin Man on A Bad Reflection on You.
Oh, the mirror monster.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
Yeah, the first Clone Ranger episode.
Well, that was immediately before Doomsday, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Or within a couple episodes of it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the first one after. No, it wasn't the first one after Tommy. Well, anyway, I think that was right before Doomsday. Not that it really matters. What were we talking about?
I think we tangented off from Power Morphicon.
Well, of course we tangented it. Can you even say that word?
I can. Apparently you can't.
Yeah, apparently not. But no, you know, Power Morphicon's a news item for this week, so... You know, it's fair to talk about that a little bit.
I am just wondering what's going to happen at the Bandai of America panel.
Hilarity or badness, or possibly both.
Yeah. Possibly Lynch.
Let's try and predict what kind of craziness Bandai's going to try and pull off for a panel.
Well, they reportedly are saying that they are going to apparently say something about. A Rita toy, which is probably going to be
no.
not going to be one.
Same with the Dragon Zord.
Yep.
I'm betting they're going to send a demo lady that they hire at Christmas time at malls with the first wave of the Power Ranger toys to demo them, and that'll be their panel.
Sounds like Toy Fair.
Yeah.
Except it would have to be a demo lady they hire who inexplicably arrives in a Gundam costume.
A sexy Gundam costume. Well, I'm thinking of E3, never mind.
Okay, I can't really work with that one, so moving on. What else is going on this week?
A whole lot of nothing, I think.
But yeah, if Bandai actually...
Finale of Kamen Rider Double.
No, that's next week. Bandai actually...
this week.
If Bandai actually goes to the trouble of having a panel where they, like, answer people's questions, only bad things can occur.
Yes.
And we will be delighted to talk about them next week's show.
I suspect that whatever they promise us will not happen. Or will happen in such a way that it pisses us off further.
Or both.
We're fans. Are we ever not pissed off at what they do?
Well, when it comes to Bandai of America, probably not. But just being fans does not automatically mean that we're always pissed off about everything they do.
I'm half expecting them to end up having to rush something out like Hasbro did years ago with Machine Wars.
You mean to fill the gap between now and when Shinkanger starts?
No.
How could they have rushed Machine Wars out? I thought it was just all molds ahead lying around anyway.
What?
It was a comment that one of the Hasbro guys made somewhere that they were going to be doing a testing out another vehicle line.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Okay, yeah, I remember that now.
And it ended up that, wait, you said that? Oh, shit. We have to do something.
You just cursed.
That's fine.
Formax never curses.
He doesn't?
Not that I can remember.
News to me.
Oh, okay. Well.
I'm sure I've heard him say shit before.
Well, fuck.
Or maybe that was me. I don't know. So what do you mean about having to rush something out?
For the Bandai?
Formax.
Well, them saying that something's coming despite the fact that they were not going to do something like that.
It doesn't matter. Bandai makes announcements and cancels them later all the time.
It'd be really nice, and I'm sort of living in a dream world here, that they weren't really expecting to make any Americanized Shinkanger toys, because they thought Power Rangers was dead. But now that we are getting Shinkanger, they don't have time to make new molds, so they're just going to give us the Japanese molds. That'd be awesome.
Well, not for the action figure part of it, it wouldn't.
Well, then for the Zord part.
And the roleplay toys.
Yeah.
Or at least the more.
Of course, that won't happen, but, you know, it's a nice pipe dream.
The Japanese roleplay toys are kind of sucky.
Even the sushi changer?
No, I just mean the roleplay toys, specifically, like, the weapons.
Well.
And I understand the Recognizanto
well,
is
not
actually
like the Bandai of America mold.
Nice.
So the Bandai of America roleplay toys were any better.
That's true.
But, well, no, but the, okay, Red's Recognizanto came by itself and was pretty decent size for being a roleplay toy, but the weapons for the other four were sold in two packs and were, as you would expect, resultingly tiny.
Oh, like the Power Blaster from this year's line?
The what?
What Power Blaster?
You know what I'm talking about. The
Red the Blade Blaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't even have the excuse of being in a two-pack.
But ridiculously tiny like that.
Yeah, ridiculously tiny.
Like your mom's penis.
Nice. I guess for the Zords it would be okay. It doesn't really matter, though, since there's not any kind of gimmick they can really simplify out of the Zords, even if they did redesign them.
Yeah. The RPM, the Bandai of America's RPM Zords, those were great.
They were.
They gained a lot from not having to have the large engine souls.
Well, I mean, they were basically more compact, weren't they?
Yeah. And they
also made the toys lighter.
Right, because they were smaller and had less mass to take up. Your mom takes up my mass. So yeah. No, I would be surprised and actually disappointed if Bandai did not come out at Power Morphicon and make some grandiose claim that could not possibly ever happen. Because then they just wouldn't be Bandai of America.
Some kind of claim like production won't, or distribution won't be an issue next year?
Exactly! You know, speaking of that, I was at Walmart the other day. Some of you may have seen the picture I posted on Twitter of the G.I. Joe clearance.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that.
That's because you're not on Twitter.
Sorry, I have an attention whore.
What?
Nothing.
You're just a regular whore. The non-attention-seeking variety.
Yeah, he's a regular whore because he takes after his mother.
Oh, snap.
So, I saw among the clearance stuff at Walmart, the last 2010 Megazord marked down to $17, which seemed to be the complete extent of Power Rangers merchandise they have anymore.
The funny thing about that is that all of a sudden I see the Walmart in my area restocking the Megazords, even though they got red shelf tags on them.
Are they red shelf tags and reduced price, or just red shelf tags for the original price?
Just red shelf tags for the original price. My understanding of the red shelf tags means discontinued item. Do not reorder.
Something like that, yeah.
I think at least.
Well, I mean, I worked in there before.
I mean, it's not like you can understand what he's saying.
Oh, okay. No, I understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
But yeah,
when I'm buzzing.
I don't even care anymore. No, when they put the red shelf tag on there and leave it at the regular price, it's something they're trying to trick you into buying because they don't want to carry it anymore. You know, that's the first step in the process of getting rid of the stuff before they actually mark it down.
Yeah, and they did that at one of the Walmarts here, and this is the one that has the shrunken toy section because they're having to tear down a wall to fix the foundation. And that they had the markdown to 17, and there, but the other one still has the stuff at the regular price it's been getting the new stuff. And what I've heard from Bandai of America's Twitter account is that it's the larger stores that are carrying the Power Rangers line.
This is a little off topic, but I just wanted one of the Walmarts in my area did something really weird with the toy section. Is they moved the action figure aisle to one of the outside walls of the store.
So it's outdoors now?
Well, no, it's not. Instead of being like a regular aisle like they always are, it's on the back wall of the store, flat.
Oh.
With no overstock shelf. It's really weird looking.
Yeah.
Well, Walmart's dumb anyway.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you... This one that was just... That was remodeled, or...?
No, I think it's just a regular reset. I didn't get a remodel.
Mm. As I'm one of the ones that was here on when they remodeled, they moved the toys to the back, like where it would be in a non-super center or a super center that wasn't originally a super center.
Yeah, we've had a few stores like that, but they moved them back to the front again, which is great because I can just walk into the garden center, check, and be back out and have to walk through the whole damn store.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Of course, at the Walmart here, the toy section has always been in that spot where you can just walk in the garden center and you're there. It was a weird store.
Yeah. I've seen the Phone Breaker Rangers show up in my area a lot more recently.
Gonna buy one?
Only if I really get really bored one day.
Well, here's hoping.
Are you gonna buy one?
No, I have a real Phone Breaker. It has like electronic games and stuff in it.
I've seen one, but right now I'm going to be a little short on extra spending money because I've just paid for C-Cons, so yeah.
Now you're just doing that on purpose, aren't you?
Partially yes, partially because of C-Cons.
For some reason I always want to pronounce it C-Cons, even though I know that's not correct.
I hear that a lot.
And I don't know why. Ever since a kid, that's what I've always thought that sounded better, I guess.
Well, all the other combiners.
It's because you're trying to associate a two-syllable name with it.
Yeah, like I want all to the extra vowel in between it.
I think that's people thought it. Yeah, I've pronounced it like that because it would fit in with the other combiner teams, but the commercial, it's CCON, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's the correct way, but it's just, I don't like it that way, whether it's correct or not.
Right.
I do wish it was, though, of course, it also, I do wish it was like a bad pun name, like C-Clamps.
Like the Beast Wars toy? C-Clamp?
Yes. His name is a horrible pun.
It is a pretty bad pun.
I like that toy. He has grabby claws.
Oh, here, I found something for you, Mickey. Because I know you have asked about this before. And now it looks like you may be able to actually get a figure of Cyclone XL Extreme.
Oh. They were really desperate to find another use for that mold, weren't they?
I would imagine so.
Well, they couldn't even bother to paint that extra little W thing on the red side. That's lame.
Now, who's watched episode 48?
We're not talking about that yet.
Yeah,
which
I'm just
flag
curious.
Is he? Is this Italy or Mexico?
What?
I get them confused.
The green, flag. White, red. I think green, white, red is Mexico.
Okay.
But don't hold me to that.
Olé.
I'm saving that one.
Frijoles.
Frito-lays. Shall we get into episode talk?
There's one more piece of news I'm just going to toss up here.
I'm guessing that's History of Power Rangers.
Episode 9, finally.
Ooh,
Time Force.
Yes,
Time
indeed.
Force.
And the creator of this series will be yet another guest at Morphicon.
That's cool.
The creator of History of Power Rangers or Time Force?
History of Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Is he attending or is he a guest?
Attending, really.
Okay.
Although in one way of thinking, that's also a guest, so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure guests aren't really expected to pay to show up.
Guest depends how crappy the convention is. Okay, so I guess we want to move on to the episodes.
Yes, let's.
If we have to.
Yes.
Oh, and Fort Max, to answer your question before, we're not talking about 48 this week.
Aw.
I know, but still. Talking about 47 should be enough.
Oh, and I have animated Rodimus.
Oh, okay.
So do I.
I don't really care that much at this point.
I could have got Ironhide, but I decided not to.
Yeah.
He's better than Ironhide.
I had Grimlock briefly, but I took him back.
You could have given him to me.
You could have given me $70, too.
Well, no, that's not how this works.
Oh, I was confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Ghost Ager for this week. But no, we must talk about it. Because at least this episode wasn't as horribly inexplicable as the beach episode.
Yeah.
That was a really bad episode.
Even for them.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Even by the standard Ghost Ager sets for itself, that beach episode was just like, what was I even watching?
Well, the thing about digging a hole is that it just keeps getting deeper the farther down you go.
But sometimes Ghost you Ager's find just stuff when you dig.
Sometimes you accidentally
Ghost
dig Ager's in somebody
found
else's
a lot of
toilet.
Stuff when it's digging. Unfortunately, it's well,
sewer pipes?
Four holes.
And your mom.
Pockets of methane.
Well, Paladin just said your mom.
No, that's Hot Pockets. And you can interpret that either way.
All right. So what are we up to now, 26?
26 now, yes.
Well, at least we know for sure that we are past the halfway point.
Yay.
Unless it gets picked up for a second season.
Shut up. Okay, Paladin, tell us what happened in this week's episode.
The Gosei Angels versus the Tengu Warrior.
So, it crossed over with Power Rangers Season 3?
No, because yet again, that would be something too awesome for Gosager.
Oh, right. Those are Tengas, not Tengu.
In the movie, they were Tengu.
Crossover with the movie, which...
Yeah.
would still be too awesome.
Pretty much. Because that would mean there would be, Ivanhoe's and Gosager continuity, and...
He could only improve things.
Yeah, really.
He'd kick their asses.
Well, what wouldn't Ivanhoe's improve?
Well, see, Ivanhoe's would go and destroy their powers, and they would go off to,
Planet Phaedos.
They'd go off to Phaedos to get new powers, but they would just screw up and be trapped there for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And then we would never have to hear from them again.
Too much to hope for, I think.
Well, I think we crossed that line when we said Ivanhoe's would be in continuity with them.
They'd be stuck on Planet Australia.
Gosagers versus Tengu thingy.
Yes, and the Tengu's mission is to make people laugh so he can capture them in this little jar thing he carries with him.
Well, actually, I think that was his personal mission. He just doesn't like people laughing.
Yeah.
Is that a Tengu thing, or is that just something for him?
I don't know.
And I don't care.
It is Gosager, after all.
Yes. He captures the girls and Agri right away, but Alada, Hyde, and Gosei Knight manage to hold their own for a while.
Who's got a Geiger counter running?
What?
Anybody else hear the Geiger counter?
I do.
Who's doing that?
Not hearing anything.
Okay, then it's you doing it.
I'm not running anything.
Well, something's making the background noise. Anyway.
Anyway, the Tengu makes Alada laugh by farting.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with that.
Yes. It is kind of a prime example of the rest of the content of the series, though. Proving that Alada is literally so incompetent he can be defeated by a Tengu fart.
Well, when you put it like that, I can't help but approve.
And it's symbolic of, the show farting in our faces week after week.
After week, after week.
Except in our case, it just makes us cry.
Yeah, it's more of a metaphorical fart with us.
Yeah.
Anyway,
of course, the whole underlying element of this episode is that Hyde has no sense of humor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be amused by hanging around these assholes either.
Funny, that's the way I feel almost every week. What?
What?
Well, who do you hang out with aside from us?
Okay, so... The monster captures Alda, and then it's just Hyde and Gosei Knight left. And yes. They've noticed at this point that when the monster starts to laugh, his jar wants to suck him up, too.
Right. So they have to figure out a way to make him laugh hard enough to shatter the jar and let everybody else free so he doesn't get sucked in, too.
Maybe Hyde should have tried farting.
No, Hyde has to have some dignity left. He's the only competent Gosager.
There's a competent Gosager?
He's the closest thing to a competent Gosager.
Thank you.
In comparison to the others,
yes,
he's competent.
But he still got his teammate killed.
In comparison to someone at BP, he's not. Topical humor. It'll still be funny years from now.
Sure. Just like Dan Quayle. So, yes, we're then treated in this episode to the inexplicable comedy duo of Hyde and Gosei Knight.
Yeah.
Well, and some of the worst jokes you've ever heard.
I'm guessing the jokes made a lot more sense if you actually speak Japanese.
No, I think the whole point was the jokes were supposed to be really awful.
But if they're just puns on the language, then we're probably not going to understand that very well.
No, not very well. It doesn't mean they were especially funny to start with, either.
True, true.
If Gosei Knight wanted to make us laugh, he'd just start shooting Alada again.
Well, Alada was already captured, though.
Well, he could shoot at the jar.
Well, see, that's the funny part. Hyde and Gosei Knight succeed somehow in making the monster laugh. I don't even remember what the joke was. And then he has to cut his own jar so it can't suck him in.
Yeah.
But then after he gets grown big, he's got the jar back with a Band-Aid over it.
Well, that's kind of funny, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the good news is, in the end, we get to see Pirate Fish Head Megazord kick his ass.
That's by pouring water on him.
A minor one, yes.
Yeah, at least it wasn't another See It, Ghost Eight Great.
Yeah.
Because there's just no point. No point in having See It, Ghost Eight Great without the hat. This was
and a bad
episode.
That's pretty much it for the Ghost Eight this week, thankfully.
Good, let's move on.
Oh, and... we were right last week. We've started a trend of Ghost Eye Knight along with one of the other Ghost Agers each week. So, since next week is going to be...
By one.
But next week... They don't seem to be totally corrupting him yet.
He's hanging around with them. Still,
at the end of this, he's still walking away, like, shaking his head at the idiots he encountered this week.
I think he was just shaking his head at Hyde's bad jokes.
It could be both.
The but old Ghost Eye Knight wouldn't have bothered to make jokes. He would have just killed the shit out of everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ghost Eye Knight's the one person around who probably is completely immune to laughter by any means. So it's not like he had to go along with the stupid comedy plan.
Well, he probably wanted his shields back.
If only, Fort Max, if only.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week we get Augury and Ghost Eye Knight teamed up.
Hooray.
What fun.
Yeah.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Okay, so how about episode 47 of Double?
Holy shit. That's pretty much all you can say about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we take a break? Okay, somebody say something about it.
1 second.
2 seconds.
3, 4, 5, 1.
All right, so things are wrapping up.
Yes.
Quickly. Distressingly.
Yeah. A little bit sad.
Yeah, and things are probably going to get worse before it's over.
Very sad.
They usually do.
We finally get to meet someone else from Foundation X.
Stopwatch
yeah, lady.
White chick.
Yeah, she's awesome. I love that she has a stopwatch for all of her conversations. I'm going to start doing that to people on the street.
Do that to people at work.
I've got another appointment. This conversation's over.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what purpose the stopwatch was exactly supposed to serve.
I think it's just hilarious. I think, well, it's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah, I wonder. But yeah, so as of this episode, Foundation X wants to get out of the Gaia memory business and start looking for other areas of expansion.
Other areas of merchandising.
Yeah. Maybe they should go talk to the Go-Onders and get into the engine soul business.
Yeah, to be fair, though, the Gaia memory thing hasn't really panned out too great for him.
Yeah.
Well, especially since Ryubei was kind of working on his own goals the whole time anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it really seemed like he was basically taking advantage of the situation to just screw them over in the end. But, you know, that's Ryubei, Magnificent Bastard.
Yeah.
So,
and plus, them believing Wakana being dead, on the museum being completely destroyed, that there's no way to get any more, so...
Oh, no, they can still manufacture the Gaia memories.
Yeah.
That's independent of the fountain and the Sonozaki stuff.
Right,
Foundation X has the equipment to keep manufacturing the memories as long as they want to.
Right, but it's more the getting new ones that, because I'm the ones that they've been making sure haven't worked out that well.
Well, I'm sure if you gave them enough time, they could figure out a way to work with what they have to get something stronger.
Yeah.
But yes, okay, obviously in the War of Gaia memories, the kind they were using were a little bit behind.
Yeah.
So Foundation X still wants to go ahead with the Gaia Impact.
Well, one guy of it.
Okay, well, yeah, what Kazu is the still... Gaia Impact?
Okay, from what I could understand, the plan was basically to somehow eliminate everybody who is not compatible with Gaia memories and come out with a stronger surviving human race.
Okay.
Which really makes almost no sense anyway.
Yeah, so why would Foundation X go? I think I understand why Ryubi cared about that, because he was crazy and a visionary. Foundation X appears to be a corporation concerned with profit.
Right. Maybe the next step of the plan would be to start distributing out Gaia memories to everybody or something. I don't know.
Maybe Foundation X is just code word for Bandai.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? All tidy like that.
Yeah. It actually kind of makes a lot of sense now that I think about it.
Of course, Ryubi's version of the plan apparently...
Brave did that years ago, so...
What?
One of the Brave series, it ended up that, oh, the bad guys aren't really the bad guys. They're also being controlled by a company that's selling us, that's developing us as playthings.
Oh. Well, there are no original ideas anymore. But no, yeah. Ryubi's idea of the Gaia Impact seemed to be limited to, like, Japan. But,
or, I think part of it, I think it, with Ryubi, I think it was mostly, getting a priestess of the Earth.
Well, I mean, he wanted to go through with the Gaia Impact, but his scale of it was limited to a smaller area. Kazu wants to use Foundation X's resources to implement it globally.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Foundation X was okay with it in the first place, because they were just going to end up depopulating Japan more than they're already doing to themselves naturally.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Japan is an endangered species. So, the boys find Psycho racing around a motorcycle track.
For some reason.
Yes. What?
Yeah, I don't really get what the purpose of that was supposed to be.
Maybe it's just they just wanted to show off Psycho and motorcycle leather.
Maybe they just wanted to have Shotaro and Terui able to, you know, play with their motorcycles one more time.
That's probably more likely. Maybe they just wanted to show off their incredibly amateur editing skills in this scene.
Well, how bad was it, though?
Well, if you notice, whenever there's a wide shot of people driving, they're wearing entirely different helmets than the actors are wearing. Right down to the fact that the driver's helmets are black across the lens, and the actors are clear, so you can see their faces.
Maybe this episode was a little bit rushed in production.
Well, and then, like, furthermore, once they stop and get off the bikes, if you pay attention to the backgrounds, the direction they're facing keeps changing. In one scene, you'll see the stands behind them, and they'll cut, and they'll be facing the same way, but all of a sudden it'll be at the other side of the track behind them.
No. See what it is? You just didn't notice all the characters were walking around in circles as they were talking.
Oh, yeah, I must have missed that.
See, it makes perfect sense.
Shows up, apparently he teleports them to a parking lot outside the track at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some...
Well,
but, you know, it's kind of hard to notice when Kazu shows up and wrecks everybody's shit.
Yeah, I think Utopia might be the most powerful Dopant so far in the series, with his 98% synchronization rate.
And the ability to grant his own wishes.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that his powers involve, I wonder if similar things wouldn't happen to other people who have a high compatibility rate with the Gaia memories. You know, just as a result of having a lot of power from them.
I'd imagine there'd be a lot of warfare on the planet after the Gaia Impact.
Kind of seems like it, doesn't it? Especially if everybody is given a Gaia memory or equivalent
with superpowers,
power.
Yeah.
Right. Or, I mean, some people, I guess, would get stuck with, like, the Jazz memory.
Bean memory.
Yeah. The ramen memory.
Podcast memory. Who am I kidding? No one's going to remember us.
Perhaps the way that's the way it should be.
Maybe so. But yeah, Utopia is very powerful either way.
Yeah. He burns Excel.
Burn. Yeah, apparently those rider suits don't protect you from fire. Which seems like a little bit of a shortcoming in the design.
Yeah.
You know, with all the crazy stuff you're going up against, you would think that one of the considerations would be, oh yeah, let's make sure that he can't be burned to death by, like, magma or somebody.
Well, hey, Exhale's already immune to psychic powers. I mean, he's got to have some weakness.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, you would think that a fancy armor like that would offer some protection against being burned alive.
Well, motorcycles gotta remember, aren't exactly fireproof.
Say what?
Exhale's half motorcycles.
You ever okay, I
motorcycles
guess so.
Motorcycles burn.
He's full of gas.
But, you know, race drivers wear, like, fireproof suits.
Well,
he's not the race driver. He's the race car.
Well, he's kind of, like, half and half, though.
No, that's double.
Well, I was just going to say that Excel is, like, the one of him is two different concepts in one. In contrast to double, where the two of them are one detective. See?
Yeah. So, aside from the awesomeness of Utopia, the other issue in the episode is that if Philip and Chitara become double one more time, Philip dies. Forevers.
Apparently so. That's kind of sad.
Until the next team-up movie, probably. Sadly.
Winter 2010.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Philip's body, even without transforming into double, is already starting to break down back into Data.
Which isn't terribly well explained, but whatever, I'll buy it, just because it's a story.
Well, and I mean, at least they kind of try to explain it. What, Fort Max?
I was saying, and plus the show's too busy being awesome to go into explanation about it, so...
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much time for details when you're having a climax.
Yeah.
It sounded dirty, didn't it?
Kinda, yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It's okay, Denno was at a climax from start to finish. Or at least Movataros was.
Let's see. Shroud shows up and refuses to help.
Apparently everybody knows where her spooky blue forest is.
It's probably just downtown. It's a park.
And that's just like fumes from the cars.
Like if you turn the camera the other way, the sun's shining, there's like people throwing frisbees at dogs.
But then why is it blue? Are the dogs in the park blue too?
Probably.
It's the poor white balance park. I mean, I can make stuff look blue, too, by turning the white balance the wrong way. The other thing, though, is that Shroud just kind of, like, disappears, basically, while Shotaro's looking at her.
Yeah.
I don't think we saw her able to do that before. Previously, it seemed kind of like a Batman thing, where you would, like, look away for a second and she'd just be gone.
Yeah, when she's really just hiding behind a doorway.
Right.
Maybe she's doing the same thing. Maybe she's like rolled underneath him, like she's like behind him or something when he disappears.
That'd be funnier if she just keeps behind his back.
And she's like squat walking away.
Now I'm imagining Shroud as squat.
Let's see. Oh, there's the goodbye party for Philip, where we got all the secondary cast members back.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Santa Chan's wearing a full face mask, which makes me wonder if it's really him.
He's at a party. He's in full costume.
But, I mean, you never see his face. I wonder if it's not even the real actor.
Might have not been. I mean, I think some of the actors they got to do the secondary parts like that were, like, comedians and such. He might have had a conflicting engagement. But, yeah, one last party before everything goes to shit.
Yeah. It's kind of a depressing party.
Yeah, it really kind of is. I mean, Shotaro wasn't having any fun. And he got the biggest gift, too.
Yeah, seriously.
At least go have a piece of cake or something.
What was it that Philip gave Ryu?
I think it was a coffee cup.
Oh, okay. I guess because they're always drinking coffee. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Because Philip always liked Terui's coffee.
Yeah.
Which also sounds vaguely dirty.
Well, now Akiko's going to be sampling Terui's coffee.
Oh, just shut up! Shut up! Well, anyway, episode 47 was a good kickoff to the end of the series.
Yeah. I'm glad it's looking like the show's going to finish strongly.
Oh, and did we mention that Walken is still alive?
I don't think we did, but yes. And she's got a SIM card stuck in her forehead now.
Well, and her Gaia memory had fused into her body, too.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if she's part Data now as well.
Might be.
Because they're planning on uploading her into a satellite as Data, so I wonder if she's the same as Philip.
Something similar might have happened, yeah. In any case, I think she's basically going to be Clay Doll permanently now. You would actually have to kill her to stop
Clay
her.
Clay Doll Extreme.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, if she's not...
Actually,
it
sounds to me more like what happened with the invisible dopant.
Or get stuck inside you?
Yeah.
Just the way I saw it being explained, it seemed like it was a more extreme situation. No pun intended. You know, it actually infused into every cell in her body.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably not something that can be reversed.
It kind of feels like there's a whole technology aspect of the memories that they've worked out in like a show bible that we haven't really heard.
There probably is to some extent. You know, at least basic rules for how they function.
Yeah.
Because the Gaia memories, all the memory breaks, you can see that the Gaia memories are just technology themselves. There's not anything like mystical about them.
And there's some kind of surgical procedure for the USB ports they put into people.
Which can conveniently be performed on the street with a little gun.
Yeah.
That's handy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably like getting one of those tracking chips implanted in your... It's like probably like getting one of those tracking chips implanted in your dog.
Yes, dogs.
You know, just some quick little thing they can do.
Not people, though, no.
Well, no, not people. But, you know, it would be basically the same principle if they would let you do that to people. Sorry, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how awesome it is when people start floating around when Utopia transforms.
Everything starts floating around.
What I love about that is that people keep floating for like a good like 10 seconds before he even transforms.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of power for never having shown it off before.
That's how powerful he is he doesn't even need to.
It's how powerful he is. He can just drop his Gaia memory and it'll float into his belt.
Yeah, and not even Ryubik did that.
No. Everybody else, you know, inserted manually. Which also
your mom inserts it manually.
Yeah, actually, you know, I always liked the way Wakana had it, where the driver part of the belt she wore on her back. So it was always out of sight.
So you're saying that she prefers to take it in the back?
Maybe so. Wouldn't rule it out. But, you know, it's just a good way to explain how, you know, she can always have it there, but you never have to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She wore it like the Ranger, like,
Yeah, she wore it like a Power Morpher.
Yeah.
That's a very good analogy for it, Max. Her Gaia Power Morpher.
I like how they just strapped it around the cat.
Yeah.
I love Terui's reaction when he learned that one of the lieutenants was just the family cat. It was almost like a Gosei Knight kind of reaction. You know,
yeah.
What the f*** is wrong with these people? Which, you know, is really a valid observation.
Lots of wrong with the Sonosaki family.
I know, it's a very valid observation for the family in general.
Yeah.
That whole family's just f***ing crazy.
Yeah. So,
yeah, one question I still have is that Philip died as a kid.
Right.
So, how did they arrive at his new body, where he's 20?
Well, okay, actually, I think he's supposed to be, like, 15. or 16. No, I think what happened was that his body reconstructed out of data immediately and just kept on functioning like a human body, and he aged like as if he had not died.
Okay.
I don't think it was like he was dead for a while and then one day he sprung up out of the Gaia fountain full grown.
No, I was thinking somehow they had extrapolated his data and pulled him out at a later time or something.
No, I think it happened by itself.
Oh, okay. The show needs more explanation in it. I need more
info. Maybe anybody who gets thrown down to the Gaia fountain will come back in the form of data and be able to do all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
I think if you drop a quarter down there, it grants a wish, too.
And on that note, let's take a break.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
The site that brought you the best in reviews and photography for the last 5 years now brings you video. FigureReviews.com now features our video-enhanced podcast and video reviews, starting with our special 200th review. Plus, our normal high-quality text and photo coverage. Toy reviews, photography, and now video. FigureReviews.com.
Hello, this is Brian Kilby from Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I wanted to let you guys know about our contest for September. We are giving away a Rodimus Minor, yes, Transformers animated Rodimus Minor, which is a Toys R Us exclusive and super, currently, hard to find. All you have to do is go to tfvideo.net, which takes you directly to our YouTube channel, and subscribe. It's that simple. You can actually earn extra points if you submit a video to us telling us why you should win Rodimus Minor. But you don't have to. It would be cool, though. We'll play that on the show. So, again, go to tfvideo.net, tfvideo.net, and subscribe. It's that simple. We'll be announcing the winner on the September 29th show, so you have until September 28th to subscribe to our YouTube channel, again, at tfvideo.net, tfvideo.net. Again, this has been Brian Kilby. Good luck. Now back to Superhero Time.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Okay, so for this week, we made a little change to Twitter Theater. We decided to go with a new idea every once in a while, which I thought it would be appropriate to call Adaptation Decay. Mickey, would you like to explain Adaptation Decay for our audience?
Yes. Remember a few weeks ago when we had the Sailor Moon episode, and I suggested we watch the two different episodes in different series and compare them?
Yes, and some of us actually did that. I'm sorry we didn't quite get that. I think you broke up there a little bit. Fort Max, why don't you explain the concept of Adaptation Decay?
Well, basically that when you have the story that's in one form and it's making the story into another form, a lot of times it doesn't turn out that good. And sometimes this is due to the medium or just the execution of it. And, Overdrive is, pretty bad.
That's a lot nicer than what I'd say about it.
Well, yeah, really, for
the Whisper Game.
I've only watched one episode of Overdrive, so.
And do you want to watch any more?
not much more.
Trust that instinct.
All right. Okay, so to start us off with this, I chose an episode from Bokanger and an episode from Overdrive, which basically are the exact same plot, just imagined in completely different ways. The basic story is, was it episode 18 of Overdrive?
Yes.
Which is Out of Luck, which involves the Red Ranger being cursed with bad luck. That
not
much
that
of it...
He wasn't already cursed with bad luck by simply being in this show, of course.
Right. Or by being a robot.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's bad luck. I just...
It's not bad luck.
If likable, it would be bad luck.
It's not bad luck. It's a bad agent.
Yeah.
Mickey, you're buzzing again. Mickey, you're buzzing louder now. I'm sure he's doing that on purpose.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, better?
Yeah. But anyway, as far as the bad luck thing goes, that's completely identical to the Bokanger episode, which was, what, 27?
Yeah, 27.
Yes. Yeah, and I could not tell you what the title of that was. Something in Japanese, I assume.
And probably pretty long with a couple with two or three exclamation marks in there.
Yeah, something like that.
And probably a spoiler.
Well, no, this isn't Dragon Ball Z.
Too bad.
Or Headmasters.
Yeah, Headmasters.
The original Bokanger episode, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even without watching any of the rest of the series around it, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the whole bad luck thing the Bokanger episode was all tied to Feng Shui.
Right.
And there was lots of very specific things done in the episode
to make that happen.
Right.
Consistent with Feng Shui.
Right, compasses and colors and locations, and you know, it all made a lot of sense as to why the luck was being affected by the Feng Shui.
Whereas in Operation Overdrive, Serpentera Monster just had a magic compass board thing, which could make you have bad luck at a whim.
Yeah.
Of course, not like that. Of course, stuff like that is typical for Power Rangers. So, that itself isn't the... it's one of the more confusing things, but frankly, there's been much worse. In the Saban series.
There has. But what's confusing to me is how much the Feng Shui footage they left in.
Without really explaining why it was important.
Yeah. When they could have just cut that scene out entirely and it wouldn't have looked quite so weird.
Okay. If you want to talk about odd retention of footage, let's talk about
Gnarly Gnome. That putting the shoes on backwards for no reason or something like that.
That really wasn't where I was going with this, but that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
No. Let's talk about the main fight scene toward the end of the episode.
Exactly.
Where
the power of Sombrero Ranger.
Okay. But Overdrive, shot for shot, recreated that entire fight scene with new footage. For no apparent reason other than to use their own good luck props.
To avoid having to explain why the good luck props were in Japanese.
It doesn't even matter, though. The only Japanese-y thing was the shirt Red was wearing.
Well, it's possible they were unable to get the original props, and they could not get something created close enough to match the footage.
Yeah,
never stopped Power Rangers before.
Right, but even if that was the case... There's still no reason to do such an exacting reproduction of the original fight scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even down to having Red get run over by the horribly rendered CGI boulder.
Yeah. Which looked much better than the Japanese footage.
The one important thing from that they did actually omit was when they did the roll call and the explosion went off behind them. In Bokanger, Red caught on fire.
Yeah.
Now
that's great.
That's like as bad luck as you can get being a Power Ranger.
Definitely.
And
it's also something
why they cut it out too, though.
It's also something that I totally could have seen RPM doing if not for the fact that somebody was on fire.
Yeah. If people get kind of spooked about
things, it did its own, RPM did its own spin on it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I could totally see them doing it if there was not a problem with setting a ranger on fire intentionally.
Right. They just set the baddie. They just set the everyone else on fire.
That's fine, though. Those were robots.
Yeah.
But no, there has been other occasions of
Plus,
Power
it's
Rangers.
It's much funnier being used as an intentional weapon.
Right. No, but there has been occasions of Power Rangers being on fire. In Lightspeed Rescue in the Mighty Mega Battles, after one of the explosions goes off, they do a close-up on Blue and Green, and you can see that the suits have flames coming off of them. Where I guess they were standing a little too close.
Yeah.
But one thing you'll find is the more time passes, the less awesome stuff is allowed to be in kids' shows.
Yeah. Like saying gun.
Yeah. Or smoking.
But yeah, of course they reused a lot of the shots between Bokanger and Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big tower falling down on Red.
Yeah.
But
I remember that.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like you could actually see the actor in it.
Right.
So.
But it's really like the stuff Mickey was saying. It's the little details that got left out of the Overdrive version that really make the difference between how the stories come across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the most confusing thing I thought, or not confusing, but question mark inducing, is when they summon the auxiliary Zords.
Mm-hmm.
And they form the compass point around them, you know, to do the feng shui colors to depower the monster. Well, in the Overdrive version,
they summon the extra Zords for no particular reason.
And then they throw a compass graphic up on the screen like it means something.
Well, I guess in Overdrive you're supposed to assume that it's just the power of the compass board, which Pink is using, overlaid over Serpentera. What was his name in Overdrive, anyway?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just, I get the feeling that they thought Feng Shui was too hard to explain to children, so they just made it something even crazier.
Well, that's Operation Overdrive.
Yeah. The real point, of course, is to show off the awesome toys that the kids can never buy now.
Well, they could buy them. They were in stores.
Well, the kids can buy toys, but not awesome ones.
Sure they can. They're called Microzords, and they were awesome, and they could buy them.
Actually, that's true. I have the full set for the Ultra Zord. So, yeah, those were pretty cool.
I set when I had the chance.
Yeah, I kind of regret that too, but I don't really regret missing out on the Battle Fleet Megazord in either colors.
Yeah,
I think they actually released the Battle Fleet in both color schemes in the same assortment.
I think they did.
Which is a little bit wacky. Okay, so, would you say that Overdrive was a true case of adaptation decay for this story?
The story itself, I'm pretty much carried over on, it was adaptation decay, but I'm the same way as a lot of episodes are, but the main thing that really, but it's not this relation of the story itself that makes it bad.
It's kind
of elements that went into it. It's like ordering a Black Angus burger from McDonald's. It's still Black Angus, but it's horrible and flat and devoid of any life and flavor.
Like I just said, it's still McDonald's.
Yes.
And may possibly have a hair in it.
And probably not very much Angus.
Exactly.
Unless there was an employee named Angus.
So, Paladin, we haven't heard much from you about these episodes.
Well, I'd forgotten that there were actually Rangers I hated more than the Ghost Eggers, but Operation Overdrive reminded me of that.
But the Rangers' acting is horrible.
Yeah.
The directing is horrible. There was only so much time that they could have the guy who played Mercury Ranger on camera because half of the time it was first person view of him holding something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But the worst of course is Dax.
Yes.
Which one's that?
Blue.
Mm. The one who really needs to be punched in the face.
And not in the way Hyde needs to be punched in the face.
No, he's got the smug.
Yeah.
But it's completely unjustified smug.
Yeah.
So, Paladin, how much radiation is there in your house?
What do you mean?
Oh, that Geiger counter is clicking all over the place.
It's not a Geiger counter. It's a PKE meter.
Oh, so he's haunted.
Yes.
Okay, that makes more sense. That would explain the birds. That would explain the birds and the yelping dog.
It's my bullshit detector. It only goes off around you guys.
Then, it must be a new one, then.
We broke the last one.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have anything to do specifically with this episode, but I like the setting for Bocanger a little bit better, too. Where it's not just some crazy guy's basement.
Yeah, now one thing that I will say is that on the production values with the sets for Overdrive is pretty good.
What two sets they have, anyway.
Yeah, but on the sets are good. The costumes that they have are good. The supporting non-Ranger actors are decent.
Everybody loved the butler.
Yeah.
You gotta have at least one saving grace, I guess.
And yeah, Spencer and the voice acting.
And in
the
season
monsters,
when you don't have Ziggy, it's gotta be the butler.
Yeah. It's just that the Rangers themselves, they can't act, and the direction is horrible. The directing's horrible. The stepping in mud, that was, like, they cut to an odd camp. Like, kept cutting to odd angles that make no sense. Course,
Overdrive itself is an odd angle that makes no sense.
Yeah. But the effects are good. It's just the Rangers themselves, and when you're focusing on the Ranger actors, that the monster's voice acting was kind of annoying, but it fit the characters somewhat.
Oh, I hated the dragon's voice.
Well, see, the funny thing about all this is the same things
voice,
that we hate about Overdrive are the same things we find endearing about Season 1.
Except this isn't done with any of the charm of Season 1 of Power Rangers.
Exactly. This is Season 1 without any heart.
This is Season 1 without them trying really hard with nothing to work with. This is them not trying at all with, like, flashy stuff all around them.
Yeah, sets and props and costumes and stuff were on the same level as the acting, it would be
campy and fun.
Yeah.
It would be like original Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or at least it would be like the way original Star Trek looks now.
Yeah. Well, Star Trek was kind of low budget.
But I'm sure it still looked more impressive at the time either way.
Yeah.
I mean,
and still, it's just the fact that it's not that it's on that on with the Rangers. It's the bad kind of bad acting.
Okay, and then there's another thing too, which being shot in New Zealand, there's not a whole lot of wealth of geographical variation, and in a series that's supposed to be kind of like globe trotting, that can be a little bit of a problem.
Like when they went, pretty much always looks like New Zealand.
Like when they went to the Florida Everglades and it was a rolling pasture.
With mountains?
Oh, Florida's full of mountains.
And rolling pasture.
That's what most of the Everglades is now, I think.
And then on Ranger Board, after the episode aired, people were going in and adding new captions to a screenshot of that. One of the better ones was Manhattan.
What?
Manhattan.
Yeah, I do have to say that I love a ranger wearing a sombrero.
It's really almost as good as a masked rider wearing a fedora, isn't it?
Yeah, something about Sentai costumes and big silly hats.
Yeah.
Or big silly hats in general.
Yeah, big silly hats are nice. What about the big silly socks?
I think we need a ranger wearing a big old cowboy hat.
I can see that.
Or a fedora.
What about the Wild West Rangers? Those don't count? They have hats?
They weren't wearing hats.
Damn.
No, they were wearing...
missed opportunity.
They had, like, fringes and stuff. You know, little simple variations.
They had tassels on their gloves and boots.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
They could have been stripper rangers, though, with just the tassels.
Maybe in Japan. No, you know, Overdrive's never really going to have the kind of fan adoration that Season 1 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had. Because it's just... The level of acting might be the same, but it's just... It's not the same at all.
Yeah.
At least Season 1 of Power Rangers appeared to be fun.
Yeah.
Apparently, unless you were David Yost.
No, I...
Well,
I don't think he enjoyed...
No soul.
I don't think he enjoyed himself at any point.
Of his life?
Well, he probably didn't enjoy himself very much when he was producing reality shows for Fox. Because, really, how much fun can you have being producer of Temptation Island?
Maybe that's his punishment for being a dick about Power Rangers.
Maybe so.
It's like his purgatory. He's got to suffer through that to get back in everyone's good graces.
So, what else do we want to say about this?
Did you get the review I sent by chance?
Yeah, that's already put together.
Yeah, and now one thing that I did notice is that actually on the CGI for the Overdrive original vehicle transforming armor thing, it's actually about on par with the CGI that you see in the Sentai and Kamen Rider stuff, which I'm even more highlights how bad the acting, how big the difference between the acting and the other production is.
Yeah, they pulled out that, what did they even call that thing? I don't remember.
The Transtech, wasn't it?
Yeah, that probably was it.
It's they pulled horrible that, looking.
I know, and they pulled it out so many times, too.
That is like the worst looking toy.
And it's not really represented well in the show.
It's the worst looking toy in an entire year of worst looking toys.
The morphers were nice.
It probably looks better than the...
Hey, Paladin, remember the triple transforming Megazords?
And the flatbeds slippers, so...
Paladin, remember the triple transforming Megazords?
Yes.
There were two of them.
I know. That's why I said Megazords.
Yeah.
Oh, Bandai.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I'm rethinking what I said in my review.
What?
I'm rethinking what I said about the American adaptation in my review. I think I was too nice.
I was going to say, you want to, like, add to it then, or...
Yeah, just go nuts.
I think it's fine as it is. So why don't we go over to that right now, since we're on the subject of the toys, and we'll come back after that.
Maybe.
Welcome once more to Paladin's Place, provider of annual doses of awesome to superhero time.
Mega Zord sequence has been initiated.
The 30th Super Sentai series, known as Bokenger, told a story about the collecting of magical objects known as the Precious. And I ask all of you to remember, it's been about 4 years and all the obvious Gollum jokes have already been made. And they used a set of mecha known as the Go-Go Vehicle to accomplish this task. Let's take a look at the series' main craft, shall we? The first five Go-Go Vehicles are the Bokenger's signature craft. Go-Go Dump, Formula, Gyro, Dozer, and Marine. A dump truck, a race car, a helicopter, a bulldozer, obviously, and a submarine. Pretty good. These five, you may notice, are a lot smaller than the typical Zords, with the possible exception of Dump, but the detailing on parts for each of these is really superb. The five can combine into a single vehicle form known as the Go Trailer, which is another optimal sort of configuration. It's always nice to see extra play value in your Zord sets. Finally, the five Go-Go vehicles transform to create Daiboken. This Megazord form is very impressive, with a superbly detailed design and way more articulation than you would usually expect from this kind of combination. Daiboken has two signature weapons, a pickaxe and a shovel, that can link up and form the traditional Megazord saber. As the search for the precious intensifies, the Bokenger team receives four new vehicles for excavation and combat purposes. The drill, the shovel, the mixer, and the crane. Each one of these can form new limbs on Daiboken, but none of them are particularly outstanding as individuals. The real value in these new vehicles comes in the super combination. When all nine Go-Go vehicles combine together, it creates Super Daiboken. This form is somewhat uglier than the regular Daiboken, but it shows off a level of creativity beyond what I'd normally expect from Sentai series before this. Later on, the Bokengers get control of one more vehicle, the Go-Go Jet, an aerial fighter that can also be used to transport the other vehicles, one at a time. Jet allows for two more configurations. First is the ability to combine with the four other auxiliary vehicles to create a backup Megazord known as Daitenken. This combination isn't nearly as impressive as the others, but the fact that a secondary configuration is available is a nice touch. More importantly, Go-Go Jet can combine with the entire fleet of nine Go-Go vehicles to create the ultimate Daiboken. And as far as I am concerned, this guy is the gold standard of Sentai Mecha, the perfect fusion of form and function and the entry in this series by which I judge all others before and since. It is an absolutely beautiful piece of robotic goodness that every fan should try to own. Now, as tradition dictates, these designs were adapted for an American counterpart series known as Power Rangers Operation Overdrive. Go Rangers, go Rangers, go, go, go! Go Rangers, go Rangers, go, go, go! But unlike previous toy lines, the Zord molds were significantly different from the original Japanese release. For reasons that have never been properly explained, Bandai of America chose to increase the Go-Go vehicle sizes while making several other changes relating to the combination abilities. All I can say about that is, what the f*** were you thinking with this hyper-condensed piece of horse shit? We give you not Snoop, not bad, bad, nerd, rage, who responsible, this, your mother ain't shit. Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, I hope you have enjoyed this discussion on the noticeable differences between Super Sentai and Power Ranger toys. Stay tuned for more awesome entries in Superhero Time.
Okay, so do we have anything else to talk about with Bokenger and Operation Overdrive?
Why is it Overdrive is the only series they had a complete release on DVD?
Because Disney hates us.
Hey, you didn't pick up on that before now?
No, I did. It's more of a rhetorical why, I guess. I mean,
oh.
Of all the series, they picked the one that's... The worst one is the one we get all of.
Yeah. That's kind of a shame, isn't it?
Not just kind of.
Yeah, that's really hard being a Power Rangers fan, because everyone's out to screw you.
It is. It really is hard to be a fan of this sometimes. Especially when you have to, associate with the other fans.
That's why I don't do that.
I don't necessarily mean anybody in this group, although I'm not saying I don't either, but, you know.
Certain Ranger fandoms get very angry about silly things.
And since there really is only, one particular Ranger fandom, yes.
My first experience with dealing with anyone in the Ranger fandom was with on the wiki with
Derek. So many
worse
that sentence could have gone.
Yeah.
Oh, you dealt with the Power Rangers people on Wikipedia?
No. Transformers wiki.
Oh, Derek.
Yeah.
Well, Derek will be Derek, won't he?
I think he's the only person who has actually managed to kill an entire page by editing messing up on a template code.
Oh, skill. Oh, that wacky Derek. Yeah.
Hi, Ben.
Well, there's choppers involved. You can't let that slide.
There's what?
Choppers.
Like helicopters?
Get to the chopper.
Okay, I'll be using that one too, assuming Fortnite comes out long enough. That will be pretty good. did I have something planned for us to talk about next week? I can't remember.
No, but I have an idea.
Do you ever?
Sometimes I come into this with an idea for the next show. Not very often, but sometimes it does happen.
And then you forget it.
Yeah.
I thought we listened to what Paladin has to say, because he doesn't pick horrible things for us to watch like you do.
Tim Curry?
So can I go ahead?
Yeah.
Well, since next week is the unfortunate ending of Double, I'm suggesting we have a show dedicated to the ending of Awesomeness. So let's do a Twitter theater of Countdown to Destruction.
Ooh. You know what else this weekend is?
What?
It's the 17th anniversary of Power Rangers.
And the ending of Power Rangers Generation 2.
Right.
All the more reason.
Yeah. No, actually, Countdown to Destruction is a pretty awesome idea.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm totally
what is there to say about it?
We can spend 15 minutes talking about how awesome it is.
Yeah. And plus, you know, we haven't really touched on In Space yet anyway, so...
We can spend 15 minutes talking about how awesome the episode is, and then an additional 25 minutes talking about how awesome Bulk and Skull's crowning moment is.
And then probably another 15 minutes about how Zane's a douche.
Yeah. See, so there's a whole show right there.
I think that's a good plan. Next week will be the...
Yes, for a certain value of show.
Next week will be the end of Superhero Time special episode.
Say what?
The end of Power Rangers, end of In Space, the end of Double. The end of Superhero Time.
Not our Superhero Time, the original.
Yes.
Right.
Unfortunately, yes.
We don't want to get people's hopes up here, Mickey.
Well, maybe if we got people's hopes up, we might get more listeners.
No, people just get pissed off and stop listening altogether.
Oh.
You know, if we tell them that we're ending the show and then we keep going with it, might make them a little mad.
Nah, people love when you do stuff like that. It's like when you tell someone that your grandma's dead, but you know, then you tell them, oh, she's not.
And then she died.
No, that's your
mom. No, she's still alive.
Well, you know, your grandmother is somebody's mom, too.
But not yours.
Your mom's mom.
Yeah, your mom's mom.
That's sort of a theoretical impossibility, though, isn't it? Because how could she be big enough to have your mom inside her?
Okay.
It's like saying infinity plus one.
Oh, I always liked infinity plus three. Because, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it two more than the other guy.
I suppose.
You know.
That's my strategy for your mom.
I love our show so much. At least when we're not talking about all the, like, the Power Rangers crap, you know. I love our show when we're talking about stuff not related to our show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do Countdown to Destruction next week. I'm sure there's good copies out there.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be hard to find.
It's on the DVD.
What?
It's on the Best Of DVD.
Good choice.
So, you know, we should all have it already.
We should. Does anybody but you own that DVD?
But y'all don't?
No.
Oh, okay, well.
And Fort Max is just sitting there breathing at us, so I'm going to take that as a no also.
Or he's watching something very interesting in another tab.
In which case, it would probably be a good time to end the show, wouldn't it?
I would agree.
Probably.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's been our show for this week. Leaving you on that terribly disturbing note. Anything left to say, guys?
Tune in next week for the thrilling conclusion. No, really, it'll be thrilling. Trust me.
This show?
No, what Fort Max was doing.
So, Fort Max, is it a climax from start to finish, too? Hey, Fort Max.
What?
Say, Ori Sanjo.
English, dude.
Well, no, it doesn't work unless you say it in Japanese.
As a general rule of thumb, it's never a good idea to repeat someone's phrase in a foreign language when they're telling you to say it.
Come on. If I can get you to say extreme all those times, this shouldn't
but
be any problem.
But that's English.
Not when
that's
they use
debatable.
It. It's not English when they use it in double. Besides, I've already said it, so what's the harm?
There's harm.
Well, there's harm in just sitting here doing the show. Is it really going to make it that much worse?
Yes.
Hey, speaking of double, did you notice how Utopia kind of looks like Gogostein from Goanger?
Does he?
A little bit. He's got the cape and sort of similar coloring. He's sort of big and bulky.
So, by being like Gogostein, you just mean that he's a big gold dude with a cape.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, similar. Like, he could be Yogostein's cousin.
Beerstein?
Nari.
I still want to know what Nari means.
It doesn't mean anything, does it?
Well, it must have some kind of meaning.
I seem to recall that the subtitle described it as just being like a noise. Like how Canadians say a.
Or a boot.
Yeah, well, a boot is a word. I think a is just sort of a flavoring noise.
Okay, speaking of flavoring noises, I think we sat here long enough listening to Fort Max's heavy breathing.
Thank you.
So come back and catch more of it next week. Among other things.
Catch the Burning Justice.
Yeah, you know, if you miss our show, you can probably go ahead and just catch it from your mom anyway.
Along with several other shows.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
We can stop now.
Yeah.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
You got your Wii hacked, don't you?
Yes.
Can you still access the Wii shop?
As long as you keep the system menu up to date.
Let's see. Where is that link?
Now, I think some people had developed stuff where... homebrew applications. Well, that's interesting. Where you could update just the part necessary to make the Wii let you access the Wii Shop channel again without getting any of the stuff where it kills your fun.
So but you don't have that then?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, they've already released an update to Counter System Menu 4.3. So if you install that, and then you can update your Wii, and it'll still work.
I haven't tried to hack the Wii yet, although I suppose I should. I might turn it on once in a while if I did.
It's not set to, like, get automatic updates from Nintendo, is it?
It's not even plugged in right now.
Okay, If you do want to hack it, this would be the time to do it before it upgrades to 4.3, because after that you have to go through tricks with games to get the hacks in.
Ah.
That banner bomb thing doesn't work anymore. Nintendo patched the code that it exploited.
Pretty soon it'll be just as irritating to hack as the PSP.
So now you either have to do a trick with Lego Indiana Jones or Super Smash Brothers. They patched the Twilight Princess hack too, apparently.
Oh, and really, you should have Super Smash Brothers.
I did, but I turned it in.
Yeah, I played it for a while. It kind of got boring.
I liked it. It's just...
There's only so much entertainment I can derive from beating up Bowser with Pikachu.
I was just in it to collect the soundtracks.
Oh, don't you have an internet for that?
Well, once I discovered the internet, then yeah, that kind of lost its appeal.